The problem with us, since most of the people in our church are not Germans, we forgot what it's like to stick to time. So I will not be within, we will together between us, will not be within the 25 minutes. Bear with me, but we'll get to the burgers, I guarantee, you know. We'll get to the burgers. Thank you so much, I already heard about that. You know, we're on sabbatical, and this is the time for us to look back and to figure out what God has been doing, to understand Him deeper, to worship Him. And there's one thing I understood. See, Jesus came down to lift us up. And He calls us, John 1:14 is one of the key verses for us. He calls us to the same journey to go down. And there's one thing I understand which I was not prepared for. When we enter the brokenness of relationships, the reality of this world, your junk will just come to the forefront and the junk of other people. And my question has been, what do you do about it? How do you survive? Not only how you survive, but how do you thrive? How do you learn more about God, and how do you come out strengthened? And I was led to Psalms, and let me tell you, I was walking, well, Psalms, first of all, scared me a bit. I'm German enough that I'm not very in touch with my emotions, you know. And Psalms, it's full of emotions and this, like, mushy stuff, you know. And it's threatening, you know. And I know that most of you have German background, so I assume you're also very stoic, right? So I was walking around Psalms like a Mennonite walks around the liquor store for a while, you know. I was just going around it. I would not go in there, you know. I would just go around. But I realized this is God's word. And today I'm going to read with you Psalm 139 and learn from it. What did David do in face of extreme opposition? And I let the sister here read Psalm 139.
It's page 974 in the Pew Bible. Psalms 139. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depth, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you, God, would slay the wicked. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
David faced extreme opposition, and we read it in his life, from enemies from the outside. And he was in a constant threat. And we experienced that too. Actually, a few weeks ago, we experienced from the landlord who rents it a complaint. And we worked very hard to establish good reports with neighbors, with different neighbors. And some of the neighbors who were against us now are our best friends. But there are two men. One is extreme Muslim and the other one extreme Nazi, right wing guys. And they really bonded together, really weird coalition. And they really want us out. So there will be some people in your life as we follow Jesus who will just hate you, period. There's nothing you can do. And we tried on Sunday, on Christmas, with whole kids, we brought cookies to this Nazi guy and he shut the door, you know. There's nothing you can do. So there will be this external opposition. But the harder opposition is when the opposition comes from within. And David experienced opposition from his own son, from Absalom. And I can't even imagine what it's like. And that's the harder one. And we also experienced some of that, especially from Christians who said, whoa, we like this kind of open street church. But when they enter it, they're not willing to bear the cost. You know, then the stuff comes, well, but in my church, I knew that program and I should get that. You know, I call it the consumer Christianity. You know, you get and you look what you get out of it. And I love my leader, Jamba, who comes from Mali. And we had one visitors and they said, well, we are looking for a church where we feel good. And he said, the church is not there to make you feel good. You know, he was like straightforward. And that's true. The church is the body of Christ. It's not there to make people good. It's there to glorify him, to foster discipleship. And it's going to be painful and hard. And we are here for the tough things. We are not here when we go down, Jesus said, follow me and die. All right, that's Christian faith. So there will be resistance from within, but the worst enemy is actually you yourself. And I gave to someone Romans 14, Romans 7, right? Thank you. So if you read a few verses, thank you. Yeah.
It's page 1753 in the Pew Bible. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer. I myself who do it, but is in sin living in me.
See, that's this description of an enemy within. And I believe Paul is talking about Christians here. It's as the Holy Spirit enters, that's when we enter this struggle, as we experience sin, the enemy. It's like this, you want to do, you desire God's will, and yet you experience the struggle because it's still at work in you. So the worst resistance, the worst enemy, as you enter incarnation of Christ, is the reality of sin in your life. So the question is, when we experience external opposition, opposition from within, the struggle, and also this internal enemy, how do we develop a deeper relationship to God and grow through this experience? How do we stay resilient, not breaking, not growing cynical? Unfortunately, many people do grow cynical in relationships, in marriage. They just give up. They say, you know what? It's too painful. Let's just coast. And it happens in churches too. You know, people say, okay, let's just coast. But that's the dead. Let's not go there. How do we go through it? So let me give you 4 points from this psalm that I discerned. And let's start not from the beginning, but from verses 19 till 22. And maybe the easiest would be if I gave you this verse, just stand up and read it. Did you ever see a devotional mug? You know those devotional mugs where nice verses on it? Imagine a devotional mug with that word on it. I have nothing but hatred for them. Have you ever seen one? No, I've seen a lot from Psalm 139, but I haven't seen this one. Have you seen a worship song with this line? Haven't. The thing is about Psalms, that's what I love about this. It just blurts out the raw emotion, you know? It just says how it is. If someone threatens to kill you, and we have people from civil war areas, or someone mugs you or mobs you, we have also teenagers, that can be a very, very hard thing. If someone mobs you online, and there's nothing you can do about it, right? And you go into school, and the whole school just laughs about you. Perhaps that's a fitting line, you know? I have nothing but hatred for them. That's quite God honest. So perhaps a start to begin with, we should just be honest. Don't do the passive-aggressive Mennonite thing, all right? Don't just try to smile it away and to say, but I'm still okay. Well, you are not. And that's what Psalm is good about. It just lays all out there. You know, go to the woods, scream, listen to Skillet, scream. Maybe that's a good thing, you know. But the thing is, and that's also good, don't stay there. Because if you stay there, that's a good thing to begin with. You will stay in resentment and it will eat you up. You will be like a chained dog, chained to this anger. You know, and I grew up in a system where the whole state was run by resentment. In Soviet Union, that's where I grew up, people were telling me, those are your enemies, you must, well, you, in reality, you're the ones, and I must just live hating you all the time. Imagine what a miserable existence, you know, in socialism. You should always remain envious, jealous of stuff that other people have, you know. Don't stay there. How do we move out of that? So, basically what the psalmist does, and that's what we should do, is meditate on the intimate presence of God in your life and of his knowledge of you. And this is amazing, the words that he finds. He could not have known the amount of intimacy that we can experience with God. For my Muslim friends, that's just, this idea is just obnoxious, that through Jesus, we can enter, we can receive the Holy Spirit. That's something that the Old Testament writers couldn't know. And we can experience the intimacy with God. Grab a cup of coffee in the morning and just experience the intimacy with God. And you will see that this will transform the way you see the world. Suddenly, the creator of the universe is in you and you don't see the whole world as being against you. That's the transformation that happens. You will experience the fullness of the presence of God in you. It will transform your attitude. It will transform how you view people. It will transform your whole life. And see, when we just read it on a surface level, we see it continuation of the past verses. We see it as, yeah, God is always there wherever I go. But if we read a little bit more carefully, we realize that this sense of being in the presence of God switches to a sense of dread. And there are a few verses that indicate it, because see, for them, darkness was an image of chaos. And he's basically saying, if I go somewhere to get rid of you, I can't. You are there in the darkest corners. And I see there a switch of intimacy with God, but also being afraid of him. We are afraid to be fully known. And that describes relationships pretty well. And every one of you, especially men, who have been married for a while, know that feeling. We are deep, deep down afraid to be fully known. We let people into our shiny side here. That's not a problem for us. But to allow someone to enter into our darkest corners is hard, because we are afraid that this person will stop loving us. And it's amazing how in John, beginning of John, it says that God's light shines into the darkness. So allow and acknowledge the presence of Jesus in your darkest corners and thoughts. And feel the dread. and allow him to come in there. Because if he does not, we will not experience him fully. We will miss the grace aspect. Perhaps you have a porn addiction and you stay in this darkness alone in shame and it destroys you. Well, allow Jesus. He's already there, but open it up. Let him come in. Let other brothers come in. Allow him to illuminate, shed light on why you have this addiction. What is underneath it? Perhaps you have a suppressed anger and you just have a general attitude that life was unfair to you. You know, that's a common threat. And you just walk through life with this attitude that somehow you deserved better. You stay in this victimhood position. Allow Jesus to come into your darkest corners. And how does he continue? Verse 13 till 18. Mm-hmm. And this switch, now meditating on God's presence as he was in the womb. Basically, he goes back and remembers God's faithfulness and presence in history. And he's basically saying, God knows my darkest corners, but he stays. He does not leave. He is there. He has been there all along, and he does not leave. That's grace. That's grace of a God who does not leave, who sees us through and through, who sees our brokenness beyond what we could have admit, and he does not leave. And then his worship extends from God's presence in the smallest to the biggest, from embryo to the universe. And when we do that, that gives us completely different perspective of our current situation. Our situation, when we focus on God's presence and faithfulness in the smallest, as we were in the womb, to the universe, as it extends to the universe, it gives us a different perspective on life. It transforms our lives. And then he ends up, summarizes with a plea to God. That's amazing. The moment ago he said, I hate, and then he said, search me, examine me. You know me through and through. So there's this humbleness also, realizing I don't have it all together. So do not excuse yourself that you are not part of the problem. That's the first thing to do. When we are afraid, I know that from myself, I realized like we had some really big fights, especially in the first year of our marriage. And I realized sometime Lisa would say something, by the way, who had fights in marriage? Some didn't. All right, don't listen to that. Okay, don't listen. So the thing is that happened, she would say something to me, and I knew it's head on. I knew it's so true, but I couldn't take it. All right? And why couldn't I take it? Because I didn't feel love. She did love me. She does love me. But I couldn't allow that. So I would go with that. And that's a hellish position, to know that another person is right, but not being able to admit it and to lie to yourself. So we can only be transformed when we are so loved and so secure that we can admit it. And the psalmist is not excusing himself. Most probably, in most of the problems, we are part of it. There are very few where people just without cause attack us. But in most problems, we are part of it. And also what the psalmist doesn't do, he does not sink into this darkness. He is not examining himself around. He is not navel-gazing. He is bringing it to God, expecting him to lay, to show his heart. Martin Luther called sin incurvatus in se ipsum, which means to be double bent over into yourself. Right, like completely navel gazing, completely into yourself. And that's what media does with us. That's what media does. You are in your own bubble with people who are maybe probably covered enough to tell you the truth. They're affirming your ego, and because you are stroking them, and you're all staying in this navel gazing position within your bubble. Get out. Get to the scripture, because that will expose your junk. Ask God to guide us. Reality and life in our own heart is just social life, church. It's very complex stuff. My heart, There's a verse in the Bible that says there's like in Jeremiah somewhere. Someone knows this verse about the human condition of a human heart? Yes, deceitful above all else. That's a good one. So how can I figure it out? We must ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it to us, to deal with us, guide it through us. There's no way we can do it alone. Thank you, Father, for this word. Thank you that in the face of opposition, and this enemy is also living in us, we can learn to worship you deeper, to understand you deeper, help us to cling to it. Thank you that you're exposing the darkest corners in our hearts. And I pray for everyone here that we allow you, Jesus, to go in, to be a light, to change us, not to stay in this victimhood position, but be changed by you. Thank you, Jesus, for my brothers and sisters here, and bless them abundantly and lead them to your glory. Amen.